That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And welcome to Coffee with the Radio Range Wranglers. It is 11-11-23. I think it was originally called Armistice Day. Back after the war to end all wars. But it is November 11th, and we've got a full crew this morning, and we'll go down the list. Zach, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Josh, way down south, again, good morning.
Good morning.
And Tim up north.
We got a bad echo on here.
Oh, do you? Tim, how's that? Tim, good morning, sir. And Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Jason, again, good morning. And I'll turn it over to you, Jason, to open up in prayer, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Father, that you just continue to lead us and guide us and direct us. We pray that you be with us this morning and guide us in the direction that we are to go, Father. We pray for your guidance and your direction. We pray, Father, for your assistance. We pray for you to be with your remnant people across this land, Father, and we cry out to you for you to save us once again from the hands of our enemies, those that hate us, those that seek to destroy us. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. And, you know, looking in the news, certainly no good news out there. Seems to be an awful lot of uproar in the states about what's going on over there with the Palestinian-Israel conflict, especially schools, and it looked like a good bit of rioting in New York City and destruction last night. Didn't know if anybody had seen that, but it at least is bringing it an awareness, if nothing else. It's like the facts of what has been going on there in Palestine the last 100 years versus the last, since 70 AD before that, is coming to light. Yeah, that pauses when one of the other men here pick it up there.
Yeah, I don't know. There's such a bad echo that it's hard to hear anything.
Try that.
Richard, you know, it's echoing still. Yeah.
See if that's any better.
Testing 1 2 1 2. Yeah, that seems better.
Yeah. So just because we don't always see the good that's coming out of the situation doesn't mean it's not there. We know that God takes and works all things for the good. Just as we were talking about this drought, and that there will be long term benefits of us being in a drought, and it'll put us in a better place. On the backside of it, the same thing with all this, the conflicts in Israel and what have you. It's opening channels for conversations that can be had to make people think about what they believe. And that's an outstanding thing, in my opinion, because it gives you an opportunity to be able to plant seeds and help people to question, okay, why do I believe what I believe? And that's a pretty big topic that you normally can't just ease into. But that right now, because of all this going on, that there are so many conversations being had that you can address, well, who is Israel and why and how, and how can a people that are so far removed from believing anything that we believe actually be God's chosen people? I think it's a heck of an opportunity, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, and you guys have had it, you know, it's been dry down there, but, you know, at the same time, like you were telling us that you got that slow, misty rain coming in right now, and, you know, that's a blessing from God.
And he always gives us what we need. I don't always get what you want, but a lot of times if you get what you want, it'll destroy you. So I don't want what I want. I want what God wants for me.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea. Yeah.
What did you say, Mr. Paul? I didn't. And you talking together?
I don't know. Is there anything going on with this chemical plant, these chemical fires? I've heard bits and pieces about it, but really haven't got a good idea of what is actually going on down there. I've seen some videos, and man, that thing looks like it was just putting off just a cloud of black smoke nonstop. Does anybody else know anything about that?
Where's it at?
Texas.
Oh, I haven't heard nothing.
I haven't seen anything about that either.
So my wife sent it to me. It was on the news on the Weather Channel, but I hadn't seen it anywhere other than that. I thought that was kind of a funny place for them to be covering that story. But that's the only place, which I hadn't looked into, but that's the only place I've seen it.
Yeah, interesting. I guess it started about 3 days ago, and it just been burning nonstop since then. I know at first one of the things came out that said that they suspected that there was sabotage or it was a terrorist attack, but then that got taken down, and I haven't seen that since then, so I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but it was kind of interesting. I mean, just talk about, I know that I did look to see if they were evacuating people, because the amount, you know, chemical plant, when it's burning, it looked like, I mean, it was just the smoke. I mean, I think if you were anywhere near that thing, I'd want to head upwind and get out of Dodge, that's for sure.
Well, if you can't see how the news media is so controlled right now, I mean, you get just about no local news and stuff like that. They can black or white out if they want to. I mean, this whole news thing is, you know, and then they got Biden and his brother and stuff like that. Well, they got him now. And I say, you tell me 10 days from now what they did. I mean, this news is so controlled that we are not told anything that they don't want us to hear. So, I mean, just like that. I mean, if it's that big, I didn't hear about it. Of course, I'm not real good at news anyway, but it is totally controlled at all levels.
I believe for that to be a very true statement. So that's the way they control us, is for one of the ways is for them to control what we see. What is our reality? What we see around us.
Well, and that's one of the things that just came out recently here in the last week or two, too, is that, you know, the Democratic Party was, they were basically censoring Facebook, Twitter posts and changing them and not allowing the right to get their stuff posted. And, I mean, it's came up basically. Trump was saying it for a long time. And a judge finally ordered on it, looked at it and everything, and basically came out, yeah, okay, yeah, that's true. I mean, so we've got a lot of censorship going on in the United States. It's, you know, people think that that's something that happens over in China or over in these third world countries. No, it's happening right here. I mean, there's stuff that's just plumb hard to find. Or you can read it one day and all of a sudden it's gone the next. And I've had stuff that I've screenshotted or printed and went back a day or two later and it's gone. I mean, it's like it vanished. And, you know, that's one thing that, you know, people really think that they can go to the internet and they can get, you know, find the truth right away. Oh, I'm just going to Google it, or I'm going to, you know, use this search engine or that search engine, and they're going to find it. And it's there's a war against information, that's for sure. And I think that that's one of the things that Christ, you know, warned us of, is when he's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, is that's the modern day scribes, is, you know, they're the ones that are these editors. They were the editors of the newspapers and the magazines, and now they are in positions of monitoring or censoring information. One of the things that I was doing some research on some dangers of some vaccinations, and it used to be, I mean, there was used to be able to find a lot more information a lot easier than you can actually today. You type in the dangers of vaccinations and warnings about vaccinations and stuff like that, and you'll have a lot of pro-vaccination stuff pop up before you find anything on how dangerous they are. And I mean, there's some good websites out there, but it's they're way down the list when it comes to you know, finding the information.
You know, Jason, that's funny. You were talking about this topic, you know, about the censorship. Just last week, I was telling a guy about the Jesuit killing squads during World War II, and they're going around and they're like killing all these Protestants and sawing dudes' heads off and all this kind of crazy stuff. And like, I originally heard about it or read about it from one of the books on the ministry, and then I went deeper into that topic. And, you know, this was like 10, 12 years ago. And there was all kinds of stuff on the internet on this topic about this massacre. And I can't remember the country. It was like in Romania or Yugoslavia. I forget where it was, where these Jesuit priests were, you know, in Nazi uniforms. And they were just taking out all these Protestants. And it was like, I mean, it was a big deal, you know. And I was telling this guy about it just last week or earlier this week. And he's like, really? I never heard about it. I'm like, yeah, just Google it. And then he texts me back, and he's like, hey, he's like, what should I Google? I'm like, hold on. I'm like, I'll send you one of the articles or whatever. And like, I could not find anything on those killing squads by those Catholic Jesuit priests on the internet about it. And I was like, I'll be dipped. I can't find it. And everything that those search engines pulled up, whether it was Google, Bing, I forget what the other ones are called, it was all like how the Jewish people were so victimized by Nazi Germany and this and that. I mean, that's the only thing it would pull up and make. I didn't even type that. I was looking, like, I wasn't even in the same ballpark. And that's the only thing those search engines were feeding me. So there is a lot of suppression of information out there, you know, and it just makes you wonder, like, you know, me personally, I think I just need to focus on my community and this and that, and, you know, hopefully it works its way out from there, and, you know, that's kind of what I think.
Well, in the Reformation, the Jesuits were priests by day and they were murderers by night. I mean, yeah, they killed thousands and millions of people, you know, at night, and that's just who they were. And that's what you have as a pope today, as a Jesuit priest. How many times the pope ever sat down and let him take over? This, the other one, which has since died, but he sat down and let this one step in. And they're murderers, they come to steal, kill, and destroy. But, how corrupt can that church be before anybody wakes up? You got all the pedophile priests, and now you got that cardinal comes out and says you got to give up your guns. I mean, they're so obvious against the truth that it's sickening. But when people are religious, it's really hard to get it out of them unless they want to. A lot of them will go down with the ship, but a few might get off. But I mean, it's getting so. We look at your TV, what little I look at it. I mean, all the commentators in sports are black, one's white here and there. Well, you go back in the 50s and go to a ball game and look at the movies, and there wasn't a black person in this whole place. And now that's the only one that's there. I mean, but God's word created, the stranger will rule over you. And our whole issue is sin. And like somebody said earlier, we got to turn and look in the mirror and look at ourselves and get that squared away, and then we can go out from there. We need a humble spirit, too, where we can actually minister to our friend. You know, we tend to want to drive it down their throat, but it don't work. You know, I've tried plenty of it. And, we got to look at ourselves in the mirror. And the only people that are going to make it through this are the people with true faith, because a lot of people are going to be deceived and are deceived. When I see what Joel Osteen has had on the thing, you know, he wants to give you a little bit of truth every day, and it, yeah, you know, he goes down to see Lady Gaga in New York City. I mean, you know, how blatant can you be?
But we love to have it that way because it is comfortable. Wyatt and I were discussing this morning the school systems and the structure of it, and going back to Rockefeller and Carnegie and where it all came from, and you know, it is comfortable to do the same thing every day. When the bell rings, you go from here to there. And then, okay, the bell rings again. It's time for lunch. And it's comfortable. And this is the same thing. They filter down our news and give us the same whatever, what they want to do. And you're only hearing one side of the argument, and there's not all conflict. And, we are having our ears tickled and loving it. As a nation, and just blindly walking through life without seeing what's really there for us, what we can have through a relationship with Christ and following His rules instead of their rules. It's easy and it's comfortable, and that's what we're doing as a nation, even though in the end it's not going to be.
I think it's interesting, Josh, that you talk about that being comfortable, and another word for that is that has been something that I've thought about here lately is the word familiar. You know, it becomes a familiar thing to do, and the Bible warns us about familiar spirits all the time, and it's a very short thought in mind from something that's familiar to us to familiar spirits. If there's a spirit in that activity or something that's evil, why, you know, you get attached to that in a way that is not good. And I think that's why we have to you know, judge the spirits and do that fruit test all the time and say, well, is this a familiar spirit or is it just, is it just a good habit? So there's good habits and bad habits, familiar things that shouldn't be familiar to us. You know, we all have that potential for that in our life. So I think that's another thought there that kind of ties back in biblically.
We don't even always know what spirit we're of. So we do need to be correcting that and seeing where are we, what's our baseline that we're comparing everybody else to, because we might not even be right. Probably not.
Yeah.
I think what most everybody, including myself, is guilty of is having an inability to see how our actions are going to affect the future. And they don't realize the power in our actions, and they think it's not going to matter. You know, so we sit there and we talk about following Christ's rules, which is the law of God, and the world's rules, you know, and, you know, well, one's harder versus the other. Like, no, I mean, both of them are easy if you actually think about it. I mean, you just, both systems are easy to follow. It's just, well, which one do you find more appealing? And it's the inability, and then, you know, when you look at God's system, it is looking generations down the road. When you look at the Babylonian system, it's for instant self-gratification, and you're completely oblivious to 2-3 generations down the road. So people need to keep that in mind. Like, everything that I, like, talk about, like, whether it's in business or on the ministry, it's always, it's really, I'm irrelevant. Now is actually irrelevant. The only relevance that now is my actions going to be a positive impact on the generations down the road or a negative? And people don't think in those terms. And when people start thinking in those terms, then, you know, that's when you can have an impact. And that's when you can decide what your actions and what you're going to do that day is going to be effective. And is it going to happen right away? No, it's not going to happen right away. Are you going to see an instant change? No. You know, but, you know, when you get that mindset, then you can actually make an effect down the road. So, I mean, the instant gratification bug, flu, it feels great. But, you know, the generations down the road, they're not going to like it so much.
And that's my perspective of it, and I guess the way that I think is that they're both easy and they're both hard. The counterfeit system gives you the easy right now. It's easy. You can sit in your, today I could go sit inside the house with my air conditioning or heat or whatever and sit there and watch the TV all day and not do anything. Whereas with God's system, the hard is now, as far as I'm supposed to be getting up and working and doing whatever it is supposed to be doing. And an example of that is whenever you take what you've got and you help somebody else. Right now it's hard because I'm giving away my time, giving away my money. But also to know the way the God system works is that in the long run, that's going to benefit me because, you know, if I help everybody else whenever I need help, for the most part, you know, other people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, then I will have help. And so it's investing in the future for the most part. It's exactly what you're saying in God's system. It's harder today, but easier tomorrow, whereas the counterfeit system is easier today, but harder tomorrow, because if I just keep sitting there in the house and watching Oprah, I don't even know if she's still on or not, but at some point, the light bill's going to be due, and I'm not going to have any money to pay the light bill. And that'll be my hard, is because, you know, I've thrown away everything for tomorrow for the comfort and easy today. So the way that I see it, those are the two, you know, the system that God system and then the counterfeit system, and to work his plan for you, you've got to have the faith that his word is true, and that if we do unto others, that it works out better for us down the long. And that's not why you do it, but it is also as true as the fact that there's gravity that's holding me down to the ground that I walk on right now. We know that that's true. You might not see it for a long time, and sometimes never, but we're still better off for it. So I don't know if I'm making sense there, but I think I'm saying the same thing as you, but just maybe a little different. But everything's easy.
I think the way you put it, God's system is hard today but easier tomorrow, and the Babylonian system is easy today and harder tomorrow. I think that's an absolutely outstanding way to put it, and I'm actually going to use that from here on out because I don't think you could have articulated it any better.
No, it's absolutely the adversity that comes in our lives that God allows, whether he brings it or allows it, it many times is not as punishment, but it's to prepare us for tomorrow. I agree. I agree with Zach. I like how you put that, Josh.
And in Romans 5, I was reading this morning, Romans 5, 3 and 4, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. I'm just thinking about that.
Well, the Bible says, blessed are my afflictions. And when I read that a long time ago, blessed are my afflictions, I started looking at life different. When I'm being afflicted, I'm trying to be taught something. And that's exactly what's going on. And these afflictions that we're having today is teaching us not to trust in the government. The government's become an idol. You know, they've got welfare. They're covering all the bases, they think, but it's so corrupt and deceitful, it's on self-destruct. We can't trust in the government. We get, you know, we have personal responsibility is what it amounts to. We're to take care of ourselves. And the Bible says, oh, no man, nothing, and, you know, go get a loan, you know, and that's the whole mindset. And charge interest, you know, it's all out of sight of God's word. Now, there's only going to be a remnant that get a hold of this. Let me read to you Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now, go write it before them on a table, note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. But this is a rebellious people, lying children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which will say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not, unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. And that's exactly where we're at. We love deceit. Nationally, so far, you know, I've gotten tired of it personally. I think anybody on this thing has gotten tired of it because it is deceit. I hate deceitful. There's nothing worse than a deceitful friend. You know, talking Psalms of Proverbs where David said, you know, the guy that I have coffee with in the morning turned on me. Deceitfulness is very painful. And that right there says it, prophesied deceit. You know, everybody says, y'all go to church and feel good. You know, yeah, you got to feel good. The easy road. Well, that easy road ain't right. The broad way is the hell, and the narrow way is the straight. You know, in the narrow, you lose a lot of people in your life when you get in that narrow track. So, it ain't bad. We're being perfected at this moment, you know, and he's working a miraculous thing.
And you may lose them temporarily, but a lot of times they do come back later on down the road if you'll stay on the track, keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Sometimes they don't. I'm not arguing that fact, but it's our responsibility to be who God wants us to be, right? And that is the best thing that's for us and everybody around us, not just us. It's for us to be that guy, that leader, that woman, that, you know, because if we try to stay grounded in the Word and try to do the right thing, people see that, and especially nowadays, the more and more that's something that's rare, you know, a person actually keeping their word and going and helping people and doing what they're supposed to be doing, it stands out more.
Let me read this to you. Remember ye not the former things, neither to consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Ye shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert. See, this is what's going on right now. As we see this deteriorate, we should, you know, you got to keep thinking about it, but this is a wonderful thing that's happened, and it's worldwide. I think it's the last thing that's going to happen. I think and my people know I am once and for all. I can't wait for that day. I think it ain't too far away.
It's closer today than it was yesterday.
Yeah.
That's my thing, absolutely. That's right. One day closer.
But we also know that, I mean, that the guy's patient, and he's not in a hurry, so we should be patient as well and continue to toil and go through the sufferings of today that we're supposed to, because that's investing in everybody's tomorrow, not just our tomorrow, but everybody's tomorrow. And we know that every day, if somebody finds the truth and comes into the fold, well, then whatever we went through today was worth it. And it's not just worth it, it's a blessing to us.
You know, time means nothing to God. I mean, absolutely nothing. Time doesn't make any difference, you see. And I think that's one of the curses that came with the fall, is that we were so concerned about time. And if you haven't noticed, I think, where did October go? And we're halfway through November just about. I mean, time is just flying in my book. But it means nothing to God, absolutely nothing.
I think about that, as far as from the aspect of a martyr. It's easy to be a martyr because that's one decision that you make in a moment of time, and then that's it, and your work is done. But it's hard to get up every day and work hard and do the right thing, but it's so worth it, and it builds us into who we are today. Listening to that, talking about not wanting to go back, and I struggle with that a lot, of looking back at the past and with eyes of nostalgia. And seeing the good things, I filter my memories, but you owe it to yourself to look at the whole picture, not just through rose-colored glasses like we do when somebody passes away or whatever. And, we should be better today. We should be closer to God today than we were yesterday or a week ago or a month ago. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and drawing near to God, and if not, if we were closer then, we need to make a course correction and figure out where we need to go to follow Him. Because that should be our goal every day, is to be closer to God, not how big a house we got or what we're going to eat or any of that. What does God want me to do today? To be closer to Him, to further the kingdom, to do my work, to earn my keep, to allow me to keep on waking up in the morning and breathing. What am I supposed to be doing?
Amen. It's the mindset. This whole thing, this anxious stuff that we have in our mind, is the mindset. I remember way back, I would pull up on a great big tree and I just kind of dread it. And then one day I said, Ralph, let's just see what we can get done. The lunch is 11:30. I said, let's see what we can get done. And it's amazing the different mindset that I have, that how much more you got done when you weren't anxious. And I think that was a big thing to me. That's the way you get big jobs done, to get started,
And that is contagious. It takes is that one Paul and the crew a lot of times to get everybody going, and then before you know it, everybody's smiling, and you're working your butt off, but you're having a great time. I love that.
Guys, let's see if we can try a phone call here. Hey, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Well, you got to remember, if you call in, you got to cut your radio off, your computer off, or it just creates a loop. And great explanation of seek first the kingdom. Absolutely. Just got a text from Texas. Says, Miss Irene in Texas, hearing nothing about the chemical fire. Today, all about who was shot last night, including policemen shot, parades and parties for veterans and college footballs and parties. She says, we'll see a local rancher today at the farmer's market. He may know something about the fire. LaGrange is farm, ranch, and oil business, and the big oil plant there, the, quote, dogs, want to close down. So they've been doing that with the food processing facilities for the last 5 years. Why not the oil? Let's try the phone line again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Well, I guess not. Anyway, guys, we'll turn it back over to you. But, yeah, great explanation of that. Seek first. Draw closer to God. He'll draw closer to you. And it will all work out.
Tim was saying something whenever you were talking together. What were you saying, Tim?
was just going to say that one of the things that you're talking about the mindsets as regards the kingdom and your ongoing life, and Paul hit on it pretty good. I just it kind of brought to mind one of my little axioms that I use in my life, and it's like the word have to versus the word get to. And, you know, a lot of times we look at a project that God sets before us or something that we have to do in our daily life as, oh, great, I have to do that. And maybe what you ought to do is reset your mind and say, wow, man, I get to do that. You know, so it just changes your whole outlook on what your accomplishment is and what goes on, because you get to do that. That's not something that, you know, and it changes it from a drudge job to an opportunity, you know. So and we have to, everything God sets in front of us is an opportunity. And I struggle with it too. I'm not saying I don't. I mean, there's times it's like, oh, but, you know, it helps just to try to look at it as a get to instead of a have to. So.
Yeah, we're not to be only hearers of the word, but we're to be doers of the word. And in our everyday life, you know, as you go about doing whatever you all do out there, if you just really got to keep in mind, like, I'm an ambassador of my Lord and Savior, and I need to represent him. So everything that I do, I have to do according to his approval. And as time goes on, you know, people will take notice and people will trust you and all that other stuff. And then there are times when you need to say certain things. Like, I know a couple of weeks ago when I was on with you guys, I was talking about the podcast class at my kid's school and how they were talking about pronouns and stuff on all the podcasts. And I told my kids, I'm like, you give your principal my phone number and have him call me. Well, that dude finally ended up calling me. And you could tell when the conversation started, like, that cat was, like, freaking out. Because, for one, me personally, now this is just my own assumption, I don't think he has too many dads calling in and doing follow-ups on what's going on in the classroom. And, two, like, he just thought I was going to rip him apart, which I sat there, and luckily I had about 10 days to really roll around in my head, like, how am I going to approach this situation? So, like, you know, the pronoun, like, they were talking about pronouns and homosexuality in this podcast, and it's like, well, that cat's out of the bag. I mean, it's everywhere, you know. So, like, my thought process on this was, well, maybe we should just give these kids a choice, you know. And as I talked to him, when he finally did talk to me, when I talked to him, I gave him other options of what to play. And, like, there's a couple of podcasts I listened to that they were talking about this very topic and the point of view from a mostly Christian guy. I don't know what his theology is, but what do husbands and responsible men think about what's going on in this country and what's going on in the public school system, and what do they think about feminism and all this other stuff? And I was like, you need to let these kids listen to this and let them make their own judgment. What are the positive, what are the positive impacts of what these guys are saying versus the negative? Like, you have to present both of them. You got to listen to both. I mean, obviously the cat's out of the bag, you know. And I was telling this guy, I'm like, all these kids, when they're 80 years old, they're not going to be worried about if they spent too much time on their pronouns. They're going to be worried about what kind of legacy they left. Are you advocating a good legacy, or are you, you know, hindering them by this garbage that's being put out there? And you need to, like, really think about what you're doing. So as we went and we talked, then it ended up that he wants me to do an assembly at the school and talk about starting businesses. What is it actually like to be a husband and a business owner, and to be honest, and integrity, and, like, to encourage these kids, like, despite what you see, whether it be the news or at home, you have choices. And there are people out there that are more than willing to coach you to be successful in life. And if you're willing to take the risk, and if you're willing to take the stress, you will be rewarded. There's going to be stuff flying at you, but you will be rewarded. And the principal was like, this is awesome. Yeah, let's do this. So take that step. Like, people think you can't do anything. You can do something. You don't know what kind of reaction you're going to get until you do it. So.
Well, guys, let's try this phone line again. And good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. And it just ain't wanting to work this morning. Oh, well.
But, yeah, so people can make a difference. And, you know, I just hope people are encouraged that they can make a difference. Because until we actually, like, you know, it's easy to sit here while we're on the radio and talk amongst ourselves and, like, really put what we think out on the line because everybody agrees with us. But when you're out there all by yourself, you know, it's like what Paul always says, dare to be a Daniel. You know, when you're actually being that Daniel, then everybody else is circling you. You know, I actually think those people find that very intimidating when you're that guy. And, like, you just, you know, because what's most people's biggest fear? Well, what are they going to think? What are they going to think about me? What are they going to think about what I think? And you just got to answer yourself that question. Who cares what they think? It's really irrelevant. And most people actually just want to have some type of leadership. And, you know, because, I mean, if it's morally correct, they, 9 times out of 10, they're going to follow you. Unless they're just a full-blown lefty liberal. I mean, you know, they're going to fight you. But, you know, their end is, they leave no legacy. So, you know, get in there and get in fighting. There's some, get in there. Like, we're soldiers. We're supposed to fight. So, you know.
And so I used to believe that I didn't care what other people thought and that there was no value in what other people thought of their opinions. But I don't anymore. And so I do try to make an extra effort to communicate with folks to give them at least an opportunity to see things from my perspective. Because if you just flat out don't care what anybody thinks, part of that is you being lazy because you're not willing to put forth the effort. Because it doesn't matter what people think, right? Because if they think you're a piece of crap, you're not influencing anything they do. Because they didn't put you in the bucket over here of just somebody that they've shut the door to you, you know. So I do believe it's valuable to put forth the effort to at least explain to people why you are where you are, and maybe not let them sway you or as long as you're in the place you need to be. And the only way we can measure that is by scripture. And, you know, is what I think backed up by the word or not? Which, you know, there's also pitfalls open to that. But I just say that to warn of the people that be on their chest and say, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. That can be a dangerous spot, too, because your influence on people is directly related to, you know, what they think about you and their opinion of you and how you present yourself. You might be saying the right thing, but if you're not saying it correctly, if you're not presenting it in a manner that other people can receive, well, then you might as well be talking to a rock as someone else.
You're absolutely correct, Josh. Everybody is entitled to their opinion, and you need to, it's called communicating is what it is. And I would think we are not taught to communicate and actually listen to what other people. Some people might think that they're great listeners, but you really should understand where the other person is coming from. And I agree with you 100%, Josh. Like, if you go in there like a silverback gorilla and just start screaming and hollering, you're going to shut that off. You know, you have to be humble. The goal is not for you to be elevated, the goal is to elevate everybody around you. That way they have a higher, you know, they're better off for being in contact with you. And I agree with you 100%, Josh. Like, you need to listen. Like, I was listening to this one podcast the other day, and this guy's doing this veterans town hall meetings across the nation, and everybody gets to go in there and say what they think. And people don't like what they got to hear, but in the end, the result is positive because everybody listens to what everybody else has to say. Because if people don't think that their opinion's heard, they want nothing to do with you, for sure.
And so I was thinking about that as I was listening to you, different people's podcasts that I listen to, not many, that's only a couple. But if somebody gets on there and goes to telling me how much of a Christian they are, normally that disinterests me. I don't see that as a positive. Whereas if I can see what they're doing and hear what they're doing, hear what they're teaching, hear what they're about, I would rather be able to tell someone as a Christian without them having to tell me than them having to tell me that they're a Christian so they can make sure that I know, because they're doing a bunch of shady stuff that are not preaching. I say preaching, not teaching sound doctrine and how we should be every day. I'm trying to think back. I don't know that you have ever told me that you're a Christian, Zach. Like, but it would be kind of a slap in the face for you to have to, you know?
My dad told me, and he's never told me very little, but my dad said if a man tells him he's a Christian, he says, I don't trust him. If they have to tell you, there's something wrong with it. Tell me.
James 2, you know, I mean, faith without works is dead, and that's kind of what we're talking about here. I mean, if you don't, we should strive to have a name and a standing in our communities and amongst our peers that would indicate that, you know, we serve Jesus, we serve a living God, and we serve Jesus Christ. And we put forth those ideals and live those ideals. If you don't live it, why, it's just, you know, vainglory of man and words. I mean, that's kind of where it goes to. There's certainly that.
Yeah, faith without works. Everybody, like, we've been so conditioned to think, like, well, this guy doesn't have any faith if he doesn't, you know, pray for a guy and his hand gets unshriveled or whatever, you know. Which, I mean, that's cool and all, but when your society is literally being eroded and undermined, and people are completely oblivious, and the churches are going along with it, you know, I don't really see that as faith. I see that as deception and a distraction of what the real issues are. And the real issues are is our culture is being completely undermined and destroyed. And me personally, that's where I think you have to have faith and work at, because, you know, in 5 years, you know, things could be completely different because of your faith of a mustard seed, you know. And that's really what it takes, is action and, you know, communicating, and that's what it takes. I honestly believe that is what Jesus was talking about. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Like, you can set the course of an entire community, county, state, nation in a different direction, just like the guys that fought the Revolutionary War did. That took faith, you know, and it wasn't something crazy. I mean, they're out there with their muskets freezing. And they didn't do it for themselves. They did it for the generations to come, and I'm glad they did it.
Amen. It was the works, the works that came as a result of the faith that made the change.
Mm-hmm.
And so, thankfully, I have been in a situation where we have prayed over a lady, and like almost instantly, just want to use that as an example, watched her hand that was shriveled turn back pink, and over an hour's time she had use of that hand that she hadn't had in years. And so that makes me want to tap into being where I'm supposed to be so that we can have that all the time. Are you going to get it every day? Well, I don't know. So far, I haven't. But to be able to see that happen once has been something that's changed my life in a way that, because I had not experienced that. And so that's something that I want to be able to have every day, for to be able to be in tune with God and have access to those kind of miracles all the time. Am I there? No, it's a one-time happening in my life that I have seen it. But it sure is special when you do get to see it.
Yeah, man, you're absolutely right. There should be a way of life. I mean, you know, I've seen something like that. Jason and I have seen that guy couldn't walk or talk, and then overnight he was doing both. And when you see it, it'll never be the same, because that's what we have available to every day if we were clean up our lives.
We did our part.
Amen. You know, it's one of those things. It's like when we do our part, it's like cause and effect. And I think it's pretty simple. We read about it in the scripture. You know, God says, if you do this, then I'm going to do this. And basically, I think, and I really believe that God's waiting on us to do our part, to have the faith that we need, and get our lives right. Because I think it's like, you know, it's that father-son relationship that, you know, when you have a son and, you know, you're pleased with him, whether it's a son or a daughter, it's, you know, when you're pleased with them and they're doing the right thing and their heart's in the right spot and they're working hard, you want to give them, you want to give them everything that you possibly can. When they're, you know, sitting around not doing their part, not helping out, not taking care of the family, you don't want to give them very much. And
a lot of times it's because they're not ready, right? And so I got a 16-year-old son in there in the house. If I handed him 50 grand right now, that would not be a good thing for him, because he's not ready.
Exactly.
And even though he thinks he is.
That's key to
life. Paul, go ahead.
One of the things key to life is meet a person where they're at, not where you're at. You know, we have a lot of, it's like playing cards. We get all the cards in our deck, but you don't use them unless you have to, or they can, like someone said, when they're ready for it. And you got to meet them where they're at, not where you're at.
Well, I think the other thing about being ready is we all kind of think we're ready sometimes, you know. It's like, I'm ready, God. I'm ready. You know, he's like, no, you're not. You know, I mean, not yet. But that kind of ambition, that kind of, you know, is motivating. I mean, you can look at it two ways. When we're told we're not ready, you can either be bitter about it, and that will turn against you, or you can say, well, what else do I need to do to be ready? You know, I mean, it's like, and that's counted as a good thing. And I think that oftentimes we just don't, if we were perfect, we wouldn't have needed Jesus. You know, I mean, the reason Christ came and gave himself was because we weren't perfect, and we were never going to be that way as long as we walked to face this earth. So, that's, you know, you have to consider that and mitigate your circumstance with that thought in mind, and that doesn't give you a free rein. Like Paul said, there's therefore no condemnation. Does that mean I can do whatever I want? Absolutely not. But what it does mean is you need to understand that and keep on working. Just don't get discouraged, but keep on working. But sometimes the answer is not yet, or no, or, you know, these are things that we all face.
I'm so simple, Tim, and I try to just be, like, I try to look at things simply. If you want to be able to lift a heavy weight and you can't, lift the light weight a lot, and you'll get to where you can lift that heavy weight.
Exactly.
That's right.
Or grab a buddy, and both of you can pick it up. You know, it's like, yeah, it's either, it all works according to his plan and his purpose.
It does.
But you're right, yeah.
It does.
Growth.
Well, guys, we are out of time.
That's right. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thanks so much for joining us, taking time out of your busy morning to encourage the Remnant. And Remnant, we invite you to church. You can come with us to church tomorrow morning, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. And we hope you'll join us at scriptures4america.org. And we'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth message, a new live message for you as well, and give you the opportunity for communion. We hope to see you there.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedom.